Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
Herzlich willkommen zum Metal.de Podcast, der Podcast über Heavy Metal und allem, was dazugehört. Am Mikro begrüßt euch euer Gastgeber Henning.
Moin Moin und herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Folge vom Metal.de Podcast. Dieses Mal mit dem Gitarristen Steve Rothery von der Band Marillion. Bin großer Fan seit den 80ern, hört man auch so ein bisschen raus im Interview. Das Interview hat stattgefunden anlässlich des neuen Albums With Friends from the Orchestra, auf dem sie bekannte, aber auch teilweise nicht so bekannte Songs von ihnen mit Orchester arrangiert haben, ist eine Weiterführung des Albums vom letzten Jahr aus dem The Roy Abbott Hall, was ich auch wirklich euch empfehlen kann. Ist wirklich, wirklich ein fettes Brett auch vom Bild her. Genau, es war eine Ehre, es war wirklich sehr angenehm, es ist ein absoluter Gentleman und ein super, super angenehmer Interviewpartner und Mensch. Viel Spaß beim Hören. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. A little jet-lagged, but other than that, I'm good.
Jet-lagged. So where do I catch you? In Liverpool or...?
No, I'm at my home. I just got back from a holiday about a day and a half ago. So.
Oh, where did you go?
The Maldives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, amazing. It was at the invitation of a friend. Okay. So it was incredible experience.
Oh, great. It's thanks so much for getting on the call. I know it's end of the year and... You know, but I've been a huge fan and admirer of the band, so it's a real honor and pleasure to speak to you, Steve. Really appreciate it. Just on the side of things with the new project, with the string arrangement and with the string quartet, you've done rehearsal now and you're ready to roll, basically.
We've done the UK part of our tour. We finished off with a couple of sold-out shows at the Royal Albert Hall.
You've done that already? Oh, okay. How did that go?
Brilliant. The whole tour. It was a great success.
Great.
And then we fly off to the Netherlands on Thursday for the first show in Nijmegen on Friday. And then, shows across Europe, basically, before finishing off in Essen. For the final two shows
right.
of the tour.
Right, and you're coming to Germany and that's all sold out as well, right?
Yes, yeah. It's been very well received. I mean, the Strings album people are loving and the shows have sold very well.
Yeah, I think it's a really brave song choice and that kind of goes... basically for how the whole band, I perceive the band, has always been very brave in their choices in terms of, you know, the business side of things when you really change the game of direct to consumer and stuff like that. So it's not an obvious song choice, you know, it seems like you really picked the songs you guys felt would be best suited, and it's not a greatest hits package or anything, so it's really about the songs who really you guys probably felt were really good to have that in the new arrangement. How did that choice process go? Did you just vote on the things or
We thought about it. We obviously there were songs that we played when we toured with the string quartet the last time.
Right.
So we wanted to choose different ones, and I guess certain kinds of songs I think lend themselves more than others.
Right.
To the extra sort of dimension that working with a quartet and the windblock players can bring.
Right.
Now, I think it's the danger is when you're working with kind of orchestral elements, it's very easy for them to swamp the music,
right?
And what you finish up with something is kind of like a safe kind of middle of the road version of the existing songs.
Yeah.
So I think that the strength of these arrangements that my contract producers come up with, it's kind of enhancing the music as opposed to destroying it, which is quite often happens in this situation. So things like Estonia. Especially,
exactly.
You have these lovely textures that just really do lift and exaggerate the emotions within the song.
Right, it's really delicate. It's really delicate. It's a really delicate sound. It's not something that, like you said, it's not overwhelming. It's not kind of glossing over anything. So, did you when you thought about the project and you know, obviously Michael did the arrangement, did you have any albums you really enjoyed where you went like, well, this is how we would love to make it sound? Or was it like did you give him any guidance, or he just went off and did the arrangements and then
once we decided which songs you wanted to do, we trusted Mike to do the arrangements. Obviously,
right.
You know, it, when we did it the previous time, I mean, that had been a great success. The
right.
The All One Tonight DVD Blu-ray
it's brilliant.
The Royal Albert
Hall. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great success, and that kind of showed the sort of approach we wanted to take on the whole of the album, really.
Right.
So, you know, hats off to Mike. I mean, the musicians, Praise the Folly, the quartet that we use are just incredible musicians. And the French horn player and the flautist Emma are also just world class musicians. So it's really interesting to play with musicians of that caliber. It kind of makes when we play live, it makes you very focused to make sure that what you're doing is as good as it could possibly be. You know, there's always a temptation in rock bands to kind of have more than a little bit of bluffing involved.
Did you?
And we couldn't in this circumstance. We had to really focus and give our best every night.
Did you really handpick the players, or did you really trust Michael on the decision? Or were there other string quartets coming in where you like, not really feeling those?
Yeah, it was done with these players in mind.
These are
the same players we used the last time. And,
okay.
And we knew what we were getting. I mean, the girls just great passion and fun in what they do. So it really adds both to the recording process and also to the live performance to experience the sheer joy that they bring to the evening.
Were you tempted to get a choir? Do you have choir singers?
Not generally, although there's talk about us possibly using a choir at the show that we're doing in Paris in several weeks' time.
All right.
So
you're probably filming that one then.
Yeah, I think we're going to film it in a low-key kind of way, not necessarily for release, but just to have it today.
Yeah, the Roy Albert Hall is just it's really a landmark recording, visually and musically. It's really, really high point of your career, I think.
I think it's definitely it's the best live performance we've ever filmed.
Yeah,
we actually filmed the performance at the concert we did in Cardiff this time.
Okay.
On this tour about 12 days ago, 13 days ago maybe. So hopefully that's going to be a DVD.
Okay.
Blu-ray release at some point next year.
Great. So, I heard you talk about you doing a, like a solo project that's probably coming out next year. Is that still in the...
Yeah.
A space rock. Is that
style? Kind of, yeah. It's an album called Revan Too Late, which is basically inspired by my love of space and it's kind of like a cinematic approach.
Right.
I did some filming and some concerts down in Chile.
Right. Oh, you went to the big concert. To the big what do you call it?
The observatory.
Yeah, observatory. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we played at La Silla for the solo eclipse down there.
Wow.
And filmed it and
how was that?
Using drone footage. Oh, it was just mind blowing.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm working on that in my free time. I mean, next year is pretty much just about writing and recording the next Marillion album. But okay. In my free time, I'll be trying to finish this record, hopefully to come out sometime around about September.
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, I love your last record. I thought it was really interesting subject matter in terms of, you know, the fallout and Chernobyl,
yeah.
And all that. Did you see by the way, I wanted to ask you, did you see the series, the Chernobyl series?
Not yet, no.
Oh, you have to watch it. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, no, it'll probably be on my Christmas list.
Yeah, if you have time, it's a mini series, so it doesn't take, you know, entire month of your lifetime. So it's really, really good. I was really impressed with it. And you know, when I was, I think it was, yeah, I lived near the East German border. And I still remember that I wasn't supposed to go out and for, I think, 2 weeks. And we couldn't go to school. You couldn't get fresh fruits. You couldn't go. So it was really hitting home. And I forgot a lot about it. And the series is really good. Bringing that home.
Yeah, no, I really look forward to catching that.
So great. So so next, obviously, you know, next record, I really felt that Fear was like a legacy record. I think that's I know that Steve spoke about that. He addressed a lot of things that he felt he needed to say and you know and really making a lyrical statement, obviously, and you know, for that's what legacy and protest albums I think are, you know, in their course.
Yeah,
so
I think it's going to be quite a difficult album to follow, which is why we're
I know but the good thing or the bad thing is lyrically things are just gotten worse. You know, it's we are fucked. Now what? So
now we're even more fucked.
Now what?
I think it's a terrible thing to be.
It's ridiculous. I mean, so it'd be interesting, but you're probably right. Probably lyrically, it'd be. You know, hard thing to follow because it just got so out of hand in the 3 years since the record. So
I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, yeah, we're already sort of writing the music,
right?
But I mean, the main challenge is going to be for Steve to come up with an album's worth of lyrics that compares to the strength of the last album, really.
Right.
You know, that's going to be the thing that probably takes us.
Do you think? Do you think he has subject matters he feels strongly about, or does he keep it close?
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, you know, that's what you have to. I think as a lyricist, you have to feel.
Yeah.
Your subject matter. So.
Right.
But yeah, I think he'll just need a bit of time to be able to do that. But yeah, we'll be concentrating on, I'd say, on writing and mixing all through next year, pretty much.
So and then it
we have a small we have a short break. We go and do the cruise to the edge, the music festival, Prague music festival,
right.
At the end of March, from Miami for 5 days. But that's pretty much the only thing that's happening in terms of live performance for next year.
Okay, because you're on the road a lot. I mean, I have to say, I think you are one of the most hardworking bands I know, you know, from that era. I think that's a really, you know, you have a pretty tight schedule. I think that's really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, this year has been pretty crazy. I mean, even when I've not been working with Marillion, I've been doing solo shows. I mean, I started out in Mexico for 2 shows in January. And,
wow.
You know, the various sort of things. Had a week, Steve Rothery Band weekend shows in Cologne early in the year, and did the shows in I think Chile for the observatories, and it's been pretty full on. So I'm hoping that next year will be a bit quieter.
And you. Are you going to have the same song selection approach where you just upload everything on SoundCloud and then everybody takes a month off and just digs through the best of all the ideas that's floating, which are floating around? Is that always going to be the same process when you come up with
It's a similar sort of process to that. Yeah, we probably won't have the month off. We'll jam for several hours a day, and Mike Hunter will... mix down and upload the best moments to the SoundCloud, and then we break the ideas and you know move forward from that, which worked really well on the last album. I think.
Yeah,
you know if you're choosing ideas that you're all excited about, it makes the whole process
it's great
a lot easier.
I think it's great, and I have to really give a lot of kudos to you guys for the box sets. I think that was really beautiful. Everything that's, you know, I bought them all, you know, so fast. So I think that's, I really enjoy that you put a lot of effort and care and into the reissues and the box set. I think that's really, really nice. And I think there's a lot of depth, and I know for my immediate friend circle, who are all huge Marillion fans since the 80s, I think they all really enjoy it, and that's something that's really, you know, aiming to the collector's heart, so I hope you continue with that. It's really good.
We're in a great position at the moment. I think, for whatever reason...
You got all the rights, right? You got all the rights back.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we sold out 2 nights at the Royal Albert Hall, you know, it's
amazing.
A real resurgence in the band.
It's amazing.
Maybe because some of our contemporaries are no longer around. I don't know, but there's definitely a sense of something happening with the band. You notice it just in terms of the passion of your audience, you know, the enthusiasm that you get. It's like maybe because people as well, you know, realize we're not going to be around forever.
I think so.
I mean, I think we've got another 10 years in it at least, but you never know. And maybe they're just excited to come along and experience it, you know, while we're around.
Well,
I don't know, but.
Yeah, I think that's
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think there is that sense of excitement.
Yeah, I think. Do you feel like there were pockets when your career, like, I believe you've always been hugely popular in Germany, obviously. I think we tend to be a very loyal fan base in this country. If we love somebody, we rarely let them go off stage or the radar. So I think that's something that I felt, you know, Germany's always a really good mark. And I honestly, Steve, I think that I know a really good friend of mine, you know, every time he's my age, and I think every, you know, when he hears Easter or on other stuff, I think he's just, you know, it's childhood, it's a certain emotion that you know takes you back, and it's comforting, and it's and you're right. And then the people thing, well, I don't know, you know, how long they're gonna be around, and so I just gonna take the, you know, the everything I got. They still offer me.
Yeah.
So I think that's really great. Yeah.
No, definitely. It's incredible to, you know, to get that sense with the audience of that it means so much to them, and it's a responsibility as well. We want to make another great record, Nick.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the last record you make is always freshest in people's minds. So,
for sure.
You know, when we've had such a strong atmosphere, you've got to try and follow that with something that, you know, aspires to be as good.
Right.
Really.
But that's the thing. That's the nice thing about the reissues. You know, you hear something like Clutching at Straws, or, you know, and something that you really, you know, you have the old album and you know all the songs, but then, you know, you have a new box set and you see things in a different light, you know, be it Stephen Wilson mix of Brave, or, you know, Micah Hunter, yeah. you know, doing, and you hear, it's like a new record. I mean, you know, and Brave has always been my favorite Marillion record, and I think what Steven has done, you know, I think it's just mind-blowing. You know, it just sounds so fresh.
Yeah, no, he did a great job, because the thing is, he's a huge fan of the music as well.
Yeah, exactly, album, so, exactly.
You know, he brings a sensitivity and an understanding on that. And I think... The team that did the Clutch and Its Straws reissues
amazing.
Again.
You know, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant remix.
Yeah, Andy and Avril are really, really quite special, really, what they've managed to bring out in it.
Are you sitting there the whole time? Are you kind of...
No, no. Oh, no, the extended mixes that we kind of comment on.
Right.
Actually, with the Clutch and stuff, Mark and I went in the studio,
right.
Quite near the end of the process.
Right.
But generally, you know, you say, "Hi, can you just change this?" Or,
right.
you know, sometimes it's a little level tweaks or
right.
EQ tweaks.
Right.
But they were great. I mean, incredibly talented, which is what you want to work with. You know, you want to work with the best.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Steve, thanks. I won't let you. I won't let you hang on for too long. So thanks so much for picking up the phone and taking your time to talk to me. And yeah, really looking forward to maybe meet you in the future and talk to you again on the new project.
Yes, that's great. It's great to speak to you.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Okay, cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.